Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Simon Gere, very good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, dude.
Do you know that I didn't know that today wasn't Easter Monday? Apparently the memo went out in 1995. I've been treating it as Easter Monday ever since. I had no idea that I was meant to spend time with my family.
Oh, I didn't know it wasn't Easter Monday either. What is it? Family Day?
It's Family Day. And apparently the memo went out in 1995. So Simon, you're about, as with it as I am.
I always just think of it as the third day of the rugby festival.
Well, I guess,
with
yes.
No rugby festivals, or in fact the second day of autumn, because I've always maintained autumn starts during the halftime break of the final game on Saturday afternoon of the rugby festivals.
Right.
That's that first time where you think, I should have brought
something with me. That's so funny. Yeah. It's so interesting. Because the Americans have always been very, very strict about it. Labor Day and Memorial Day. And I think you can't wear white shoes beyond a certain day. And then you can't wear canvas. They're very, very rigid about their seasons. We aren't really, are we?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably why I'm not an American fashion icon.
I thought you were. Yeah, disappointed. it's just fascinating. All right, so we want to talk this morning a little bit more about what's going on with emissions. In my commodity trading days, I would spend at least, I would travel to China at least 4 or 5 times a year. And the one thing that always bothered me there was you never saw the sky. The only time I did see the sky in Beijing was just ahead of the Olympics when they cut down on all of their production of all of the furnaces, and all of a sudden Beijing had a sky. But during the COVID, the height of the COVID pandemic, the air was clear all around the world. Give us a sense of what has gone on over the last year.
No, I mean, obviously pollution is a proxy for production, and we were making pretty good progress towards cleaner fuels and cleaner production and all of those sort of things. Then the lockdown came, and obviously we shut down everything. And I mean, the sky was noticeably clearer even in Johannesburg for a while. And I now suspect, I mean, I don't have any concrete evidence for this, but I wouldn't be surprised if now that as economies open up again, they're a little laxer with some of their environmental laws, so that you know you can ramp up production and you can get your economy working again. I hope that isn't the case, but certainly one of the side effects of Eskom's debacle, for example, is that they definitely seem to be a little more free with their pollution than they should be for a producer that size. And so if you drive across the Mpumalanga Highveld, as I did yesterday, you'll see the amount of smoke spewing out of those Eskom towers is something else. Just an aside on that, if you look at an Eskom power station, those big fat fueling towers, that's just steam that's coming out of the top there. That's just water.
So that isn't pollution?
That's not pollution at all, no. Those are the very, very tall, thin towers. They're about 200 meters high with red stripes on the top. That's where the smoke comes out, and you can really see it, particularly out of Kusile. I drove past yesterday, and as an air quality scientist, I should not be able, or as anybody, I should not be able to see the smoke coming out of a stack. If, as a general rule, if smoke is coming out, you're breaking the law.
So are they meant to have cleaning plants? I mean, I know in the chrome furnaces, for example, you've got to have these bagging plants. That's because of chrome 6 poisons, etc. But what about what is Eskom meant to be doing?
They've got all sorts of stuff. They'll obviously have pollution prevention technology in the stacks.
Mm-hmm.
It also comes down to how efficiently you're burning your coal.
Right.
And you probably find, you know, that is affected by all sorts of things. Firstly, we built these power stations to be able to build very, very low-grade coal, to be able to burn low-grade coal.
Right.
So the worse the grade, the higher the ash content, the more smoke that comes out, the more sulfur comes out as well. But what also happens is when the coal price goes up, we're able to sell all our premium coal overseas. And so the quality of coal that we burn gets worse and worse.
And that's what this power station coal, this low-grade stuff. the generators, home generators or office generators, add to pollution? I mean, I know that South Africa, Johannesburg in particular, now has this magnificent sound of generators whenever the power goes down. It's become something we've become accustomed to. But what does that do to our air quality?
Well, I mean, first, let's tackle the fact that noise is also pollution. And nothing irritates me more than someone with a home generator, which is basically a diesel engine running in your backyard. If they don't have a real reason for it, you know, if all you're doing is keeping your Wi-Fi going, well, firstly, you can do that much more efficiently by having a home inverter.
Absolutely.
If you're using it to watch TV and run your microwave, well, then frankly, that is just selfish.
Right.
You know, if you have a home business, you know, or someone on dialysis or some real reason to have a home generator, maybe a little bit more sympathetic. But 99% of them are selfish people who are happy to have their neighbors listen to their diesel generator while there's 2.5 hours of not very often load shedding, let's be honest.
So you would much more recommend going the inverter route, which I must say we've done now, and it's actually so much easier in a way.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to explain to people what those are, it's basically a battery pack that plugs into your mains and it charges while Eskom is on, and then you use it when Eskom is down. And I ran a live radio station from a domestic house for quite a long time.
Right.
And we didn't have a generator. We used this system. And it was absolutely fine. We never had an off-air moment.
Yeah, it definitely does work. And I think the people also that link that to solar power are the ones, I think, in the best position. Because then even if there are a couple, even if you have an extended long period of power outages, you know that the sun's going to come out. Certainly in South Africa and most places, we're very blessed with our climate, that it's just going to recharge the inverters anyway.
Exactly. In fact, I've got a mate of mine who's taken that one step further. He runs a solar panel business, and he has a electric powered motorbike,
right?
Which he plugs into his inverter, which is powered by solar panels. So he's completely off the grid.
That's incredible.
Plus, his mode of transport is disconnected from fossil fuels as well.
Amazing. Do you think South Africa's, I mean, we're completely off topic, but I love this conversation. Do you think that we are going to be equipped in the near future to be able to efficiently run electric vehicles?
In fact, as we speak, a guy called Winston Jordan, who is, he's sort of the, what would you call it? The mother superior of electric vehicles in South Africa. He runs a company that does electric grids for cars. And, he's in the process of driving down to Cape Town this weekend and charging his vehicle, at the various charging points.
Right.
All the way through Peru. So,
because that's always the measure.
I think it's in Bloemfontein. And in fact, I've just driven back. Sorry, I've done a lot of driving this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was driving up the N1, past Bloem, and the cops had pulled over the BMW i8, electric car. They'd pulled that over outside Bloem and were, you know how the guys in sports cars always get pulled over.
Absolutely.
And not because he was speeding necessarily. I think the cops wanted to have a look at it. So there's a guy who's driving across the Karoo. Two people, in fact, Winston and whoever was driving the i8, in an electric vehicle with no problem at all.
Amazing. Because that to me is always the measure. If you can take your car from Johannesburg down to Durban or Cape Town, then you know that we can run efficiently here. Because once you're in any of the cities, I'm sure it doesn't take long to find out where, you know, how to manage that. But just to go on these long distances, yeah, I think it would be really, really incredible. And I think that would help tremendously. Simon Gear, that's unfortunately where we do need to leave it. It is a conversation I could have for ages, but time is up, unfortunately. Simon Gear, climatologist and National Authority on Global Warming and Green Issues. It is 7:29. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM.